Let's see. The planet is hot. Droughts, fires, floods. But our economy is cold. Recession, job losses. What if we could make our planet cooler and the economy hotter? We can. If we end our dependence on foreign oil and switch to clean energy. The carbon pollution from oil and coal that's melting the ice caps and warming the planet? Cap it and spur new investment and jobs in clean energy like wind and solar. Investing in clean energy could provide more than 37 million jobs for American workers in the next 20 years. That's right, 37 million jobs. Closing the carbon pollution loophole makes polluters pay and helps clean companies prosper so they can hire more workers. As a result, the planet cools, the economy heats up. Pretty cool. I mean, hot.
Paid for by the Alliance for Climate Protection.
I want to say hello to Kevin Cerace. He is the president and CEO of a company called Sirius Materials, and they are serious about energy efficiency and serious about putting America's threatened in terms of their jobs back to work and making this country of ours and the world a much more environmentally sustainable place. Welcome to the Green Front, Kevin.
Thank you, Betsy. How are you?
Great. Great to be talking to you so soon after this incredible gathering. That was really, I would say, historic.
It was a spectacular gathering of leaders on the Green Front, from Walmart to GE to Van Jones to yourself. So really, really a spectacular group of people who are really out there, you know, really doing good for the country and doing good to get us off of this foreign energy and get us into renewables and focus on energy efficiency as well.
And it really put things into context, you know, with people who have been in sort of the environmental movement, like Van Jones for a long time, Michael Brune of Rainforest Action Network, you know, mingling with these corporate, you know, CEOs and chief sustainability officers, positions that didn't even exist a few years ago. And one vision that I have that really sort of was a perfect snapshot of where we are right now, which is, you know, on the one hand, the economy on the downslide, but then, you know, the green movement really rising, was the day that President Obama announced his stimulus package in Colorado, and he was on the roof with a guy installing solar panels, and the man from the Denver solar panel company saying that they were laying people off, literally, when that, you know, with all the promise of solar, and after, you know, a 30-year overnight success, the solar industry was starting to have to, you know, shrink back, which was just horrible in every means of the word, because economically, environmentally, and finally, you know, they're really cranking up their factories and moving things along the assembly line, and all of a sudden they're having a cut back when the stimulus package turned everything around. And you are a perfect example of a company that stepped in and made a difference. Tell us about what happened with one window plant in Chicago.
Yeah, the Chicago story is a wonderful story. Many of your listeners, no doubt, remember the story that we all heard on national and even international news back in December, when a group of plucky workers, as Rachel Maddow said, in Chicago decided to stage a sit-in because their employer actually took some equipment and closed the facility and said business was bad, and it left them even without their 60 days of WARN Act money or their severance. And so they did a sit-in until they got their severance, and they were able to get their severance. But in parallel with that in December, I actually called the union president, because this was a union shop, and unlike I think probably any business maybe in history, I flew out and said, how would you like it if we partnered with the union and went Union 2.0. This is, you know, retraining you guys, retraining your team on green-collar jobs, on high R-value, on making some superior product that hasn't been made before, and bringing this factory back to life, and we would buy it out of bankruptcy and begin bringing workers back. And, of course, they were thrilled that we would do that. Well, the bankruptcy court just a little over a month ago did, in fact, award us the plant. And in the last week or so, we began bringing the first workers back. I think we have a dozen workers or so, and that'll continue to ramp every week. The plant can hold a maximum of some 600 employees, and we hope to get back to absolute, you know, full employment as quickly as possible, and that could take over a year, but depending on how the Recovery Act rolls out. So, I mean, what gave us the confidence to do this was, in fact, the Recovery Act itself.
And hopefully this is not an isolated, although very inspiring example. What did your company hope to do or plan to do to see that more of this takes place. I know you're, although you're a great and very exciting company, you can only do so much, but hopefully getting your story out there will inspire other company executives to realize the power of one person, one company, to really take advantage of the times for the best possible reasons.
This is an amazing time because we have, for the first time, an administration that's focused on the environment, an administration that has created an almost trillion-dollar recovery package for this country. We've got workers who want to work, so there's no shortage of that. We've got plant assets that are for sale for pennies on the dollar. I mean, if you want to expand, there will never be, in this space, a better time to expand than this year, without question. So, you know, this is the second plant we've done. We did a very similar thing in Pennsylvania, and that plant is already open and running, and I think we're between 40 and 50 people there now. So, and that just opened a couple weeks before Chicago did. So we are ramping very quickly. Now, the demand for these kinds of high R-value products looks like it's going to be quite substantial, and it should, because the windows that all of us are used to are only R2 or R3, and the R rating is the resistance to heat flow, so the higher number the better. 2 and 3 is very poor. But you know, we're putting product out there at R5, R9, R11, so it's very, very exciting in terms of true energy efficiency in this country.
And you are opening up a window into a greener future, pardon the pun, after these factories were shuttered down. But puns aside, tell us a little bit about your products. Why are they really leaps and bounds above other energy-efficient products out there?
Well, there's about 9 different technologies that go into making a high R-value window. But I think the surprise to anyone is that those dual-pane windows that they're buying were patented in 1865. And while all the name brands come to your home and tell you that they're going to save you energy, they're really not saving much energy at all. It's unfortunately a very old 140-year-old technology. So, you know, in 1978 there was the addition of low-E coatings, which some people, you know, pay extra to get, and that's absolutely a big help. That gets that window from about R2 to maybe R2.8. Well, we make product that's R5 to R11. Now, your walls are probably insulated to R10, R11, R13, maybe R15. So we want to get much closer to the walls. And that's, in fact, what we're doing. We're trying to get this so that it's very close to the wall insulation so that all the heat doesn't go out the window. 5% of the country's energy, and in fact, about 40% of your heating and cooling bill, does go out the window today, and that's well known. And so we really have to address that, and this is an excellent way to address it, is getting the R-value up on these windows. And, in fact, our R5 windows are about the same price as everyone else's R2.5. So the ROI on those, the return on investment, is infinite because they cost you the same or less than a lesser quality product from an insulation standpoint.
You were handing out pins that said, "Green jobs, get serious." What's behind the name of your company? Are you very serious about energy efficiency, or is it someone's name?
No, actually, we are serious about – these are serious materials for serious times, and these are serious problems we're trying to solve. So climate change is an absolutely serious problem beyond what we can even imagine. Jobs are a serious problem. Energy independence is a serious problem. It's something we've got to deal with, and we've got to become energy independent. All of those are serious problems, and we make materials – a variety of building materials that address those problems. And in fact, the mission of the company is to be able to address 1 billion tons a year of CO2. Now, that's about 3% of the world's CO2. So we're very serious about doing this, and we think that we can get there. The built environment is responsible for 52% of the world's CO2, 12% to make our materials every year, 40% to operate our buildings. And only, let's compare that to only 9% is passenger cars worldwide. 9% passenger cars, buildings are 52, so that means buildings are about 6 times larger than the CO2 we get from passenger cars. Yet, all of us in this country think it's our car. Well, no, it's not. We happen to use cars a lot in California, but the rest of the world doesn't drive that way. So, in fact, on a worldwide basis, we've got to address our buildings. That's the easiest, quickest, fastest way to pay back and put money in our pockets and become energy independent.
I think one of the reasons your story was so inspiring and touched so many people, it did me, is because you were talking about real people, and you gave one anecdote about someone who was working at this factory, a man who came to you in tears, I think probably tears of fear initially, and then when he found out what you and your company were doing, tears of joy. Tell us about him, and also what will happen to he and the other 250 or so workers during this interim period.
Well, you know, the example I gave at the conference was Robin Scott, and he was in Pennsylvania at the other plant that we brought up. But Robin was in tears when he lost his job. A couple of months later, one of our guys called him back, and we said, come back, and I got to meet him shortly after that. And one of the things he told me was really inspiring, because when he lost his job, he says, well, there you go. I've worked at this plant for 15 years, and it's all down the toilet, and I've got to start over, and I can't pay my kids' tuition. They're going to college, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when we called him back, he and his wife hugged and cried and were so happy. But when I called him back, the interesting thing was, he said, you know, Kevin, I never thought about being an environmentalist, being a tree hugger, being an I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania, paid no attention. But now that you've called us back and you've trained us to make these higher value windows, and we've learned what kind of energy can be saved with these windows, you know what? I'm the biggest environmentalist, because we've got to start somewhere. We've got to start saving energy. We've got to start demanding energy efficiency in our buildings, and why not start it in Vandergrift, Pennsylvania, my hometown? That's what he said. So, you know, we not only gave a gentleman his job back and his honor and his pride, but we also converted him into someone that said, you know, I need to recycle now. He never did it before. So it's amazing what happens with these stories, that you also end up with someone who's now concerned with the environment because they just never paid attention, and now they realize it's their livelihood.
One of my slogans is greening the red and blue states one show at a time, because we need to get over any political polarizing, you know, factionism there is in this country, and all come together. You know, we're all in the same boat, and it's sinking, and there is an opportunity here. Everybody get their oars and start paddling in the same direction.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The enemy is not the Republicans, not to make a political statement. We all have to be in the same boat. The enemy might be trying to pull China into this boat, because they're sort of, you know, pushing against it. They're going through their industrial revolution. They don't want to slow down. But the real enemy is what we've done to the environment, what we've done from a CO2 perspective, what's happening with climate change. And we better band together on Earth. Let's get rid of our squabbles of Republican, Democrat, or, oh, we've got to protect this state, or, oh, we've got to protect that oil company. We don't have anything to protect. It's all going to be over. So let's get past it and execute a plan to reduce CO2 output from humans by about 80% by 2050. And I think, you know, Al Gore and others would say it's got to be 2.5 times faster than that. We've got to do it in 10 or 15 years, not 40 years. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we've got to band together to do it, or it'll never happen.
And while we're all in that boat, and the, you know, winds are getting stronger, the rain is getting heavier, and the droughts are getting longer, in other words, you know, everyone's talking about the weather, but, you know, we can't do anything about it. Oh, yes, we can.
Well, of course we can. You know, I love this when people say, well, the real problem is the lack of water. I said, well, you know, the real problem with the lack of water is that the weather patterns have changed. I mean, there's other problems, but this is one of the things. And when we look at California, for instance, you know, California has always been just teetering on the brink of having enough water, and it's going to teeter over the brink, because if the weather patterns continue the way they probably will with climate change, you know, these weather patterns will move more north, we'll have even less rain, and we'll be past the brink. There's no way we can survive this way. So, you know, we have the water problem because we got to burn all these fossil fuels and change the weather patterns of the world. And that's not going to come back easily. We got a lot of work to do.
Thank you for changing the world and for doing your great part, Kevin Grace, President and CEO of Sirius Materials. When we come back, we're going to speak to another eco trailblazer, Marie Kirpin. She talks about green careers. Stay with us.